أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح الله لا إله إلا الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيد المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تخزني يوم يبعثون يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم صدق الله العظيم وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا وإن في الجسد لمضغة إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله ألا وهي القلب أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Most respected elders, brothers, our mothers and sisters who may be listening over streaming. A few weeks back we commenced the tafsir, the commentary of these verses of the Quran Sharif, in which Hazrat Ibrahim ala Nabina alayhi salatu wa salam had made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A little discussion centered around the personality of Ibrahim ala Nabina alayhi salatu wa salam being Khalilullah, the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being among the Ulul Azm Anbiya, the selected and chosen Anbiya. And we had digressed a little with regards to the aspect of the choice and the selection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala selects, Allah ta'ala chooses, Allah ta'ala is independent, Allah Ta'ala does as He pleases, when He pleases, how He pleases. لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. No one can ever question the decision of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And on this particular point, as believers, this particular belief in Aqeedah, it gives us great comfort and it gives us great solace. In the fact that Allah Ta'ala is that being that is controlling the world. Allah Ta'ala is that being that is controlling the seven heavens and the earth. And everything happens in accordance to the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that now, specifically during this pandemic, there are many, many people who have lost near and dear ones, relatives. Our heart goes out to them and we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants all the marhumeen of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah ta'ala fills the graves with nur Allah grants their kith and kin sabr jameel ajr azim. However, as believers, we know that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Sharif, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. That the believers are such individuals that when any calamity afflicts them, whenever any difficulty comes upon them, whenever they suffer any loss in their lives, then immediately they say, قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. That we all belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we all shall return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person has lost his cousin, his brother, his mother, his parents, his grandparents, his friends, his family, so then he can take comfort in these verses of the Quran Sharif that today he has commenced his journey, but tomorrow I will be commencing my journey. We are all in this world. Once we went to the airport, the late Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib, Nawarallahu Marqadahu, was landing in Johannesburg. We went to meet Maulana at the airport. So Maulana gave us some beautiful examples related to the airport. He said, you see now in this airport, you've got departures and you've got arrivals. In any airport you go, you'll have departures, you'll have arrivals, you'll have domestic and you'll have the international, but it's divided into departures and arrivals. So he says, this is exactly how we living in this world. That as we live in this world, there's arrivals, newborn child, someone is celebrating a new addition to the family, and then there's departures. But everyone that is in that airport, all the musafirin, all the travel is in that airport. So somebody's flight is at 2 o'clock, somebody's flight is 3 o'clock, somebody's flight is 4 o'clock, somebody's flight is in the evening. Somebody is there in transit, he might as well stay in the airport. So the person who's in transit, whose flight perhaps is 5 o'clock at night, so he's sitting in the first class lounge, he's enjoying the coffee, he's enjoying the all the beverages that are there, the snacks, the couches, whatever amenities they may be there, he's enjoying it. But all the time, his gaze is on the departure time. Every now and then he's looking at his watch, he said, what time do I need to check in? What time do I need to go to the counter? He's always looking at the departure time. So though he's enjoying that beautiful cup of coffee or tea or whatever it may be, but even whilst he's drinking that coffee, his mind has not become heedless of his departure time. That it mustn't be I get so caught up in drinking this coffee, or I get so caught up enjoying this beautiful couch in the departure lounge, that I miss my flight in the process. So even though he's sitting and enjoying that couch, his mind is always on that departure time. And if somebody has to leave a little earlier, she says, listen, you're going, my flight is a little later, we're all going for Umrah, you are leaving in the morning flight, I'm leaving in the evening flight, he's leaving in the afternoon flight. In the same way, respect to the elders and brothers, everyone is traveling. We are all musafirin. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ أَوْ عَابِرُ سَبِيلٌ. That you should be in this world as if you are a wayfarer or a passerby, a traveler, a person who is traveling. So when we are traveling, so if we take this into consideration, then that relative of yours, that family member of yours, that acquaintance of yours, you felt the loss. Today he left this world. In 2020 or 2021, he left this world. But in a few months' time or years' time, only Allah knows, but you too will have to depart. We all have to depart on this journey. No one is in this world to stay. No one will remain in this world forever. So therefore, this gives us so much of solace and comfort. One alim gave such a beautiful example. He said that if you have a little shelf, and in that shelf you have a whole lot of cups and saucers, and we have a upper shelf and we have a lower shelf. Now he gave an example. He says, if we have to say that these cups and saucers could speak, they had some feelings, and now the owner of those, of that unit and those shelves, if he went to the shelf and he took one cup and saucer and he took it from the upper shelf and put it to the bottom shelf, So now first of all, can anyone object to what he has done? Can anyone say that why did you move the cups from the upper shelf to the bottom shelf? He'll say, listen, the shelf belongs to me. The cups belong to me. The shelves belong to me. This entire unit belongs to me. I can put it wherever I wish to. If I want to, I can put those cups from the upper shelf to the bottom shelf. I can move it whichever way I want to. If I don't want to move it, I don't need to move it to. It belongs to me. So no one can question the owner of that shelf that why did you take the cups from the upper shelf and put it to the bottom shelf. And if metaphorically or figuratively, if those cups could speak, and if the cups on the upper shelf have to say, or have to, you know, lodge a complaint, that you see, we have been together, that particular cup that you took down, he was my neighbor, and we had developed a close relationship, and I was with him for a long period of time, that, well, I'm feeling the pain of separation. So then the master would say, don't worry, eventually all the cups from the upper shelf will have to go to the bottom shelf. So what a beautiful example, respected elders and brothers, that we are all in this world temporarily. And some people will be placed in the lower shelf in the grave now. Someone else will be placed in the grave a week later. Somebody else will be placed in the grave a month later. But we just do not know when our turn will come. And so therefore when a person loses a near and dear one, we say, Inna lillah, we all belong to Allah Ta'ala. Hence, Allah can do as He pleases. If Allah Ta'ala decided to take that near and dear one of yours, then at the end of the day, Allah has the full authority to do as He pleases, because after all, we all belong to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So, Inna lillah, we all belong to Allah. But, Wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and we all will inevitably have to return to Allah Ta'ala. So though this individual who we had a great attachment to, he has returned to Allah Ta'ala, or she has returned to Allah Ta'ala, but we all eventually will have to return to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So how beautiful this particular aspect is for a believer, and it gives us so much of comfort, especially during this time of pandemic. So nevertheless, coming back to this aspect, that Allah Ta'ala does as He pleases, and Allah Ta'ala sometimes selects someone. Allah Ta'ala gives someone a certain skill. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala gives a person more wealth than another. And Allah Ta'ala gives another person more intelligence than another. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala gives another person more strength than another. So Allah does as He pleases. And Allah Ta'ala knows why He gives a certain person a certain skill. And similarly, Allah Ta'ala tests certain people in different ways. Sometimes a person loses his parents. Sometimes a person loses his business. Or sometimes the business goes through some difficulty and challenge. These are all tests from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala tests each person in according to that person's capacity. La yukallifullahu nafsan illa wus'aha. That Allah Ta'ala never places a burden on any individual beyond his or her capacity. So sometimes we may feel, how will this person be able to go through this difficulty? Now just recently one individual, they lost their husband, and 2 days thereafter they lost their daughter. Now, we may, and our heart goes out to them, and we say, may Allah make it easy for them to go through that difficulty. But Allah knows why He has tested that person, and Allah knows that that individual has the strength within themselves to be able to withstand that kind of a trial and tribulation. Because Allah Ta'ala, وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ, Allah Ta'ala does not oppress His servant in any way whatsoever. If a parent had to load the child with a 50 kg bag of cement, a small little child, then we will say that this child is being unjust, this parent is being unjust and unfair. So in the same way, if Allah Ta'ala had to load the servant with a test beyond that servant's capacity, then a'udhu billahi min dhalik, it would mean that Allah Ta'ala is unfair, Allah Ta'ala is an oppressor, and Allah Ta'ala is absolutely just. Allah Ta'ala is Al-Adil, Allah is absolutely just. Al-Adil is the sifat of Allah Ta'ala. Justice is the sifat and the quality of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So nevertheless, Ibrahim ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam made a beautiful dua. He said, Ya Allah, on the day of judgment, do not disgrace me. Do not disgrace me on the day of Qiyamah. On that day when neither wives nor one's children be of any benefit to any individual. Illa man atallaha biqalbin salim. We had discussed this previously, we're just recapping. Except that person who comes before Allah Ta'ala on the day of judgment with a qalbi salim, with a clean, purified heart. Mufassirin, Allama Alusi Baghdadi Rahmatullah has given the tafsir of this. Five tafsir he has mentioned. Of course, there are other tafasir, there are other commentaries as well. But the five tafasir that he has mentioned, and we can take lesson for this, may Allah Ta'ala grant me firstly the ability. He said, Alladhi yurshidu banihi ilal haq, that a sign that a person has got a purified heart is when he directs his children and he channels them in the right direction. He makes sure that his children are given the proper upbringing. He tries to create an environment that is conducive for the upbringing of his children, so that the deen is inculcated in their lives, so that they are exposed to the right elements. He does whatever is within his capacity. Of course, hidayat is only in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nuh ala nabina alayhi salatu wassalam was a nabi of Allah ta'ala, but his own son was deprived of hidayat. So hidayat is not in the hand. Lut alayhi salam was a nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but his own wife was deprived of hidayat. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the greatest nabi, khatamun nabiyyin, the seal of prophets. His uncle Abu Talib was so beloved to him, but Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam could not give him hidayat. And with regards to this, Allah ta'ala revealed the verses, innaka la tahdi man ahbabta. O Nabi of Allah, you cannot give hidayat to who you love. ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء. But hidayat is only and solely in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, the person makes the effort. The person adopts the means. We have continuously been speaking about this aspect of adopting the means. So we in this dunya have been advised to adopt whatever means we can. So the person tries his best to adopt whatever means he can to ensure that the children are given a proper upbringing. And then he leaves the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a sign of a qalb-e salim, of a purified heart. The second sign, الَّذِي يُنْفِقُ مَالَهُ فِي سَبِيلِ الْبِرِّ, that person who spends his wealth in worthy causes. He spends his wealth in good activities. Even if the person spends his wealth to feed his children, to clothe his children, he spends his wealth to ensure that they are given healthy, good, wholesome food, then we will not say that this person is spending his wealth in unworthy causes. In fact, this person is spending his wealth. In one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best form of charity is when a person spends on his own wife and children. It's the best form of charity. Of course, it doesn't mean we must start becoming extravagant, that the person buys another 10 pairs of shoes. That is not the understanding of it. But the person, especially when it comes to food, he buys good, healthy, wholesome food for the family, spends a little extra in terms of food, so that the health can be good. So, الَّذِي يُنْفِقُ مَالَهُ فِي سَبِيلِ الْبِرِّ, the person spends his wealth in worthy causes. Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullahi mentions that I gauge a person's income by looking at the manner in which he spends his wealth. So in order to determine whether this person's earnings are halal, I look at the manner in which he spends his wealth. If you find the person spending his wealth in the cinemas, discos, theatres, gambling dens, then this is an indication, we don't know for sure, but it is an indication that there's a great possibility that this person's wealth is tainted with some form of haram. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. So, with regards to haram, many people are under the impression that halal and haram is only, you know, it's only constricted to the chickens. As long as the chicken is slaughtered properly, then that is halal and haram. Or as long as there is a stamp from some halal body, then that particular food is halal. But what we don't realize is that if we have earned our wealth in a haram manner, for example, the person deceived the customer, and then he earned some money in that manner, and then he, even if he bought that chicken outside the haram sharif and it had the stamp too, unfortunately that food has now become haram because the person has earned it in a haram manner. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a beautiful example. He said, Rubba ash'ata aghbara yamuddu yadayhi ila as-samaa ya rab ya rab wa mat'amu haram wa mashrabu haram wa malbasu haram wa ghudiya bil haram fa anna yustajabu lah. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave an example of a person, Rubba ash'ata aghbara yutilu as-safar, a person who is disheveled, his hair is disheveled, his clothing is not in a good condition, he has traveled a lengthy journey. Outwardly, this person is in a pitiable condition. And now in this pitiable condition, he's raising his hand before Allah Ta'ala. Normally a person who is in a pitiable condition, and if he raises his hands, then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala listens to that dua more rapidly. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُطَّرَّ إِذَا دَعَى. Allah Ta'ala listens to the person, especially when his heart is broken or when he's in a difficult condition. One hadith, Nabi Kareem Sahasam, hadith Qudsi, أَنَ عِنْدَ الْمُنْكَسِرَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Allah Ta'ala is with the heart that is broken. A person's heart is broken, he's gone through some great trial and difficulty, and in that condition he raises his hand, that dua is readily accepted. Now here a person is in that pitiable condition, he's raising his hand before Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, lengthy journey, he's going through sacrifice and hardship. He's saying, Ya Rab, Ya Rab. But Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions, his clothing is haram. وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامُ. His food is haram. وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامُ. His drink is haram. وَغُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامِ. And he has been nourished through haram. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, how then can this person's dua be accepted? So therefore, we need to ensure that our earnings are halal, the manner in which the money has come in is in a halal manner. We haven't deceived the customer, we haven't stolen in any way, we haven't committed any fraud. We have been honest in the manner in which we have earned that money. So then, inshallah, that wealth will be halal. So Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah says, I look at the person's wealth and see how he spends it. That this person is spending his wealth on the poor, the widows, the orphan, the needy, the masajid, the madaris, on his family, on assisting people, giving dawahs to individuals, calling them home. He's spending his wealth in a good manner. This is an indication that inshallah his wealth is being earned in a halal manner. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. So one of the signs of qalb-e salim is that the person spends his wealth in worthy causes and respected elders and brothers. This wealth which Allah Ta'ala has granted us, this wealth is very, very temporary. Sometimes we feel that if I'm going to spend this wealth towards the masjid or towards a madrasa or towards this poor widow, orphan, needy person. On the one hand, the person has got a cell phone and now the newer model came out, and in order to upgrade for the newer model, he'll probably have to put down another 10,000 rand or 5,000 rand. So now the heart is desiring that. And on the other hand, the person says that, look, there is a certain relative of mine, they are in need of some money, and this 5,000 I could give to them too, but if I'm going to give the 5,000, I'm not going to benefit in any way. But the reality is, respected elders and brothers, that when we will spend that wealth in the path of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, in the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, we have not actually lost that wealth at all. In fact, all that we have done is we have transferred that wealth to the bank of the Akhir. Like how a person has got two bank accounts, and he does a transfer from one bank account to the other bank account. Has he lost the money in any way? He hasn't lost. In fact, if the person had an investment scheme, and he had a money in his bank account, and someone told him that, listen, this investment scheme, if you invest now, the returns are much higher compared to this Islamic banking that you have. Now when the person deposits that money, he's actually excited. Lucky I did it quickly. Lucky I did it in time. See, now in 3 months' time, we're going to start getting returns. Allahu Akbar. When we will spend our wealth in the path of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, in the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, in fact, what has happened is we have channeled that wealth into the bank of the Akhirah. It is actually ours. We haven't lost that wealth whatsoever. Though our bank account has gone down, though that money has disappeared from our wallet or from our safe, but in reality, that money, inshallah, when we go to the hereafter, then we will see it. One beautiful example comes to mind. Harun al-Rashid, he was once walking in his palace, and he had Bahlul, was known to be a very simple person, but a wali of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. He used to hide his wilayah through his simplicity. So once he was sitting at the banks of the river, and he was making some mud houses. So Harun al-Rashid passed by, he saw him. So what are you doing? So I'm making houses. What are you going to do with this? I'm going to sell it. And I said, what are you going to get in return? He said, a house in the Jannah. So he started laughing. The people with him started laughing, and they carried on. Little while later, the wife of Harun al-Rashid, her name was Zubaydah, she passed by, she asked the same question. He said, you give me this one dirham, and you will get a house in Jannah. So immediately, she took out one dirham, and she gave it, and he obviously would give this one dirham in the path of Allah, whatever it was. That night Harun al-Rashid saw in the dream that he was walking in a beautiful garden, the like of which he had never seen in his life. And suddenly he came to a building that was so exquisite, it was so captivating. And immediately that desire came to enter this beautiful palace and building. But as he came to the door of the building, there was a guard standing, and the guard prevented him from entering. So when he looked at the guard and inquired, "Why are you not allowing me to enter?" He said that this building can only be entered by the owner of the building. So he said, "Who is the owner of the building?" So he says, "Look on the top, you will see the name that has been inscribed or calligraphy." When he looked on top, he saw the name of his wife there. Immediately Harun al-Rashid woke up and he quickly rushed to Bahlul. He saw Bahlul resting. He said, "Bahlul, you got any stocks left? You got any houses left?" He says, "Why?" He says, "No, I want to purchase." He says, "Yes, but the price has changed." He said, "What is the price of it?" He said, "The price is the entire world and what it contains." So he says, "Why has the price changed?" He said, "Oh, Harun al-Rashid, yesterday when you would have given this one dirham, you would have given without knowing what you were getting in return. Now that you know what you're getting in return, the price has changed." So respected elders and brothers, in this world, sometimes when we spend that 10 rand or that 100 rand or that 300 rand on a relative near and dear one, we may not realize what returns we are getting in the hereafter. Sometimes one dua that person makes, that person is going through great difficulty, and you went and you quietly you gave that person something, and that dua that came out of the heart of that person, sometimes that is the dua that unlocks difficulties in your life. Sometimes it is because of that dua that Allah Ta'ala opens the doors of hidayat for a person. I recall one incident where we had one student of ours in madrasa who for the 6 years of his alim course had not visited his parents who were in a foreign country. At that time the late Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi was alive, and we had mentioned this to Hazrat Maulana. So Hazrat Maulana was very touched. He said, "This person for 6 years hasn't seen his parents." So Maulana quietly arranged for a ticket to be purchased for this person to go and visit his parents in that foreign country, and Maulana took the expense on himself. And then when this person was informed, Maulana says, "Right," he was elated. But Maulana said, "The first thing I want you to do is phone your mother and tell her that in 2 or 3 days time you're coming to visit." So you can imagine how emotional this mother was, that now after 6 years she's going to actually see her son. And so this youngster, he had the phone, he too was emotional. I said, "Maulana, the du'as that my mother is giving for you, I can't even explain what du'a she's giving for you." So sometimes we touch the heart of someone. A person is going through some difficulty or is experiencing some challenge, and through that wealth which Allah has given us, that wealth Allah has, ask yourself the question, if you have a shop, who is the one who sends the customers to your shop? Who is the one who puts it in the heart for the customers to purchase that item? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is the one who is sending that risk. And if Allah is sending that risk, then why should we not spend something? And look how beautifully Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, "Man dhalladhi yuqridu Allah qardan hasana." Who is it? Who is that individual who will loan Allah Ta'ala a beautiful loan? Allah Ta'ala even calls it a loan. Allah will pay you back. And when Allah Ta'ala pays you back, when the king pays, then the king pays in accordance to his shan, in accordance to his status. But Allah Ta'ala will pay a person in the akhirah. Allahu Akbar, the person will sometimes wish that I gave everything in the path of it. I wish I left nothing in this world. Because now when I see the returns for that 1 rand or that 10 rand or that 20 rand, and especially when it is given with sincerity, sometimes some people give and they make sure that the entire neighborhood comes to know. Call as many media houses as possible, put a sign to there that, you know, I gave 100 rand. One person came to the madrasa, one of the madrasas, so he gave 1,000 rand lillah to the madrasa. And after 1 year he came back to the Maulana, "That 1,000 rand I gave to the madrasa, how did it go? Whereas the ulama will explain to you, in running a madrasa, that 1,000 rand will probably last half a day. Half a day's expenses will go in that. So sometimes a person gives and he thinks he's done so much. But what we should rather do, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a person should give charity in such a manner that the one hand doesn't even know what the other hand gave. The one hand doesn't even know what the other hand gave. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us such ikhlas and sincerity that the person gives and he doesn't even worry what he gave. Not that he keeps on reminding the person, you know, like 3 years ago I gave you the 25 rand. You still, how's it? You remember I gave you the 25 rand? So this is a sign that the person is not really given for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. He's rather given so that he must get some recognition. He must get some name and fame. Remember, if you are going to give so that you get recognition and name and fame, then unfortunately in the court of Allah Ta'ala you will get nothing. Allah Ta'ala does not share when it comes to any action that is done. Allah Ta'ala wants that when we do any action, it must be done solely and only for Allah and none besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we term as ikhlas, an action which is done purely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So respected elders and brothers, we only came to the second point, but this is an important factor, the purity of our hearts. And remember, when the heart is pure, then the actions that will come out from that heart will be pure. This is a sign of a corrupt heart. That the person, there are corrupt actions that are coming out from the heart. That the person with his hands, he's injuring someone. The person with his fingers, he's texting certain messages that are, will be hurtful to another individual. This is a sign of some corruption or some weakness in that heart. Or the person uses his tongue to slice the heart of an individual. So this is an indication and it is a reflection of the corruption of the heart. Nabi Kareem Sahasim said, إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ أَلَوْ هَيَّ الْقَلْبِ. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us all the ability to purify our heart internally and externally. And we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes this pandemic and Allah ta'ala restores, you know, the health and the safety and security within our country and throughout the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on all our marhumeen that have passed away. Allah fill the graves, give them a maqam of shahadat. And Allah ta'ala grant their kith and kin sabr jameel ajri azim. And Allah ta'ala unite the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.